The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. John the Baptist is a herald of the saving Lord, whose way is prepared by repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As we hear the careful record of human leaders, we sense the spectrum of political and religious authority that will be challenged by this coming Lord. I begin reading at verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the middle of Advent season, a season of preparation, of getting ready. And as we look at this gospel lesson this morning, it's a lesson in getting ready and building roads. Back in the ancient times, a king would come and visit a place, and people would have to prepare for it. Many times they would work on the roads. Maybe straighten them out or make them at least clean. They would spruce up their town, their city. They would make sure that music was ready or bands, and a feast was always ready for that king to come in and visit them. As our gospel is written, this is during Roman times, and so they would understand this saying from Isaiah of make the road straight. The Romans were great road builders, and they paved a lot of their roads, and they straightened them out and built bridges and maybe took down some of the hills so that a king or the military or commerce could travel safely and easily along the roads. People understood this road building business back then. Think about that preparation that went into the building of the roads, but also the preparation of it, what it takes to receive a king or to receive a dignitary. And in many ways, we still do that same thing here. For instance, when, say, the president was going to come to a city nearby, that city would have to do a lot of planning. Where is that president going to stay? Where is the president going to speak? Is it going to be an outside venue? Is it going to be an inside venue? And then weeks or even months before, the Secret Service will show up, and they'll check out all the routes that the president is going to be taking. They'll check out the venues, make sure they're safe. They'll look at rooftops. They'll look behind buildings. They'll look inside of buildings. They want to make sure that everything goes smoothly and safely. Many people are involved in getting ready for a dignitary to come and visit. Or think about Palm Sunday, as Jesus was welcomed into the city of Jerusalem, and how they welcomed Jesus as a dignitary, or welcomed him as a king. The people were lining the streets, and they got palm branches, and they laid a carpet out before Jesus, and they were throwing their cloaks on the road and saying, hail to the king, Hosanna, the son of David, coming into the city. We are in the midst of preparation during this season. Many of you are preparing your homes, preparing plans. You're getting out the decorations, untangling the knots in the Christmas strings and the Christmas lights. You're pulling out the trees or buying a tree. You're going to the store buying gifts. Maybe you're planning out menus for the family gathering, or maybe you're making plans to travel. There's all sorts of preparations that are going on at this time. Even here at the church, we're making preparations. I know the Sunday school kids have been practicing for the Christmas program that'll be coming up next week. We're starting to get up a few decorations here and there. If you notice over in the parish hall too, there's a few decorations that have gone up. Making plans for the Christmas feast. Number of things are happening at this time. We're getting music together for Christmas Eve services and planning out those services as well. A lot of preparations going on at this time, but for most of these are what are basically considered outward preparations, getting ready for the celebration of that birth of Christ. But it's also important during this time of Advent that we prepare inwardly as well then too, to prepare ourselves, to prepare our hearts for that coming King, for that King who will be coming into our lives, and that second coming of Christ. And so we prepare ourselves, we get ourselves prepared. As I mentioned earlier, this gospel lesson is a lesson in building roads. And we need to build those roads within our own lives to receive the King, to get ready for Him, just as cities would prepare for a dignitary or for a king to come in. We prepare our own lives for that King to come to us. When I was a kid, we traveled west of San Antonio on what is now I-10. And in that process, they were actually building I-10 during that time. And I was amazed as a kid of what it took to build that road through those hills, particularly around Kerrville, of how they had those huge machines and dynamite and everything else just to blast out the hills, to blast a hole through the hill so that a road could be cut straight through there. And how they took all that rock and the dirt and the gravel, and then they laid it down to make the hills to go over the valleys. And as a kid, I was just absolutely fascinated with that, of how they smoothed out the hills, how they leveled them, how they brought them low, and how they raised up the low lands. Just as it says here in the gospel lesson, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Maybe you've traveled on some of the old roads through either hill country or through the mountains, and you know how those old roads went. They would go up, they would go down, they would go around the curves, they would go through low water crossings. Some of them weren't in very good shape. They were kind of rough. Many of them were kind of narrow, trying to get through. And it wasn't always easy, and you had to take it slow. You had to pay a lot of attention to how you were driving on those roads. Now, as we prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ, We learn to make our roads straight, to make them level, so that Christ has an easy way to come into our lives. And so we examine ourselves. What kind of roads do we have within ourselves? Some of those roads might be kind of crooked. They might have a lot of curves, a lot of hairpins on them. And if you've ever driven roads with curves and hairpins, you know how easy it is sometimes to maybe cheat a little bit. To cut those corners, to go across that stripe and just make it a little bit shorter or make it a little bit straighter in your lives. But that gets to be very dangerous. If we stop and we examine ourselves, we see that we have cut a lot of corners in our lives. Ah, that rule doesn't apply to me. It applies to somebody else. I can handle that. We cut those corners. We shave them a little bit. We think it's okay, we can get by with it, but it's actually very dangerous. When I was in my first parish, it was up in the hill country in Harper, and went through one of the biggest tragedies, I guess, as a pastor while I was there. I wasn't actually involved in the tragedy itself, but I was involved with the consequences of it. One Saturday morning, five girls decided to have some fun, and so they were heading to Kerrville to go to the mall, just to hang out, maybe do a little shopping on a Saturday morning. A good day, beautiful day. The girl who drove was known to have a heavy foot on the accelerator, and the road was a winding, curving hill country road, that road between Kerrville and Harper. And she was cutting a few corners. Well, she came around one corner, cutting it pretty close. Unfortunately, there was a pickup truck that was traveling from the opposite direction. It ended up the five girls were dead. Three of them were dead on the scene. Two were airlifted and died a day later. And the two men in the pickup truck were critically injured. It's dangerous to cut the corners. And we do that in our own lives. And so it's time in our lives then to straighten out those corners, to make it safe, to make it welcoming for when Christ comes again to come into our lives so he doesn't have to deal with it. Again, I was amazed with those roads in going through I-10, going through that hill country of how they made it safe. You do go up and down a little bit. There are a few curves, but you can travel at 75 miles an hour over rough terrain because of the way the roads were built. We too are to build the roads straight into our hearts for Christ to enter. Or again, maybe some of the roads in your heart are kind of rough and bumpy. And we know about rough and bumpy roads around here. Of how trucks have made potholes and deteriorated the edges of highways, and it is rough. And you drive down some of these roads and you hit the pothole, and there's danger involved with that because it can cause you to lose control of your vehicle. You can blow out a tire, you can crack or bend your rims, you can throw your vehicle out of alignment, and it just doesn't feel good to go bumping over those roads at a high speed. Maybe it's time to fill in a few gaps. Maybe it's time to fill in a few of those potholes within our lives, because we do have potholes, we have gaps, we have cracks, and it's dangerous for us once again. And it's not very, very welcoming for the Lord to enter into our lives. Maybe it's time to fill in some of those potholes with prayer or with devotions. Maybe with service of helping someone else out. To fill in those gaps in our lives, to find out what's missing in our lives and to fill it with the Word of God, to read Scripture, to study His Word, to fill up those potholes so that the road is smooth once again, smooth and ready for Christ to enter in. Maybe some of the roads in our heart are narrow. Again, many of the small roads, the country roads, are very narrow. And if you drive down those roads, you have to pay very close attention, not looking left or right, but just staying very close. Otherwise, you're liable to either go over the stripe or you're liable to go off the pavement and hit the dirt. And most of those roads don't even have a shoulder. And again, you could go into the ditch, you can lose control. You could miss also what's going on around you because you have to pay so much attention to that narrow road. I think we have narrow roads in our lives many times because we have just one focus. We just look. Whatever's on our minds, that's where we're headed, and that's what we're doing. But we miss so much. Our focus is too narrow. We don't pay attention to what's going on around us or hear what's going on around us. We don't listen to other people. We don't pay attention to what's going on. And our focus is so narrow. Sometimes it pays to open up, but to be able to do that, we need the wider road. We need a safer road in our lives, in our hearts. We need that safer road so that our focus is not so narrow, but we see a broader picture. We see what God has created throughout this world. And with the broader road then too, it is more welcoming for that Lord Jesus Christ to enter in. Also, too, with building roads, there's many obstacles a lot of times that the road has to negotiate. For instance, rivers. If you think back maybe 200 years ago of how hard it was just to travel across Texas with the gullies, the ravines, the woods, the thorns, the animals, everything else that got in the way of traveling wherever you went. This last week we went to Houston, and I was kind of thinking about that, and and driving between Richmond and Sugar Land, I happened to notice a sign. It just, all of a sudden, I saw that sign, and it said, Brazos River. I would have never known there was a river down there unless I saw that sign. Here you are traveling on an interstate highway with five lanes on one side and trying to pay attention to the traffic, but you don't even see the river. You have to look for it to see it. And I'm sure 200 years ago, that was not the case. That river presented a huge obstacle for people to cross. It had high banks. It had muddy shores. The water was deep and rushing down the river. How hard that would be to cross without a bridge. We need bridges in our own lives. We have gullies. We have ravines. We have rivers that stop us in our faith, that block our way of Jesus Christ, of having faith in Jesus Christ. And it's time sometimes just to build new bridges. Maybe it's a bridge we need to build with our neighbor to move across, to reach across, to go across and restore a relationship once again. We need to prepare the roads within our lives to make them straight, to level them out, to smooth them over, and to build those bridges to get past the barriers in our lives. We need to build these roads to welcome Christ so that Christ has an easy way into our hearts. As Isaiah says, and as John quotes him, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.